as I was praying about a week ago to prepare, and just some things that God was telling me, He gave me this phrase. And as I prayed about this and started to read scriptures and listen to things, He said, "Do we pray or are we pray?" Now, when I say the first pray, P-R-A-Y, it's not just about the act of praying, but the relationship with God, our communication with God. And of course, or are we pray? That pray is to the enemy. That pray is where the enemy comes into our lives in different areas and ways and situations and preys on us, our family, our loved ones, our finances. So in God speaking this to me, I thought, Lord, what are you trying to say here? What is it that you're trying to say? And He revealed that to me slowly over the last few days. Cricket had said when he was up here, he truly believes and knows that God told him this is a time for repositioning, for positioning up, taking that next step going forward. Well, in this message today, I want to back up one step before that and do the step where you may say, you know what, I'm ready. I'm ready to take a step forward. I'm ready to go up, but you just don't know what I'm going through. I want to do it, but there's so much right now, I can't. So I'm going to go to the step before the step up. And I want to start with a story. We watch a lot of History Channel, Cricket does, and over the years, it's kind of, I watch it with him more and more than I ever have in my whole life or thought I would. But I want to talk about an interesting story, a group of people that we've all probably heard of and heard in the history books about. They've made movies and documentaries about. But I want to look at their life and their society and how they functioned back in their time. And these people, this group was called the Spartans. And in comparison to the rest of the Greek society, they weren't a huge society, but they were a mighty strong army and force. And it was said about them that back in their time, in ancient Peloponnesia, that they were a force to be reckoned with. No army was stronger. No men were stronger. Their women were beautiful and strong and wonderful mothers. But the two things that historians say about this group that made them so amazing and such mighty warriors were they were disciplined and their militaristic style. And if we look back, and as I researched and started looking into this, I found something really interesting that they talk about, but not so much. And one of the things that made them great was their understanding of their family unit. Because, see, back then, back in those times, people believed that when a male was born, a male baby, they valued that over a female baby. And that was throughout the land, throughout everywhere. That was kind of their belief system, except with this group of Spartans. See, what they understood is that every position in the family was important. Everyone's life, male, female, it didn't matter, had a purpose. And that's what made them strong. See, they were criticized a lot of times because they said that these men were controlled and ran by their women, because when the men were out fighting, the women were having to run the government in the city. But when the men would come back, they respected, they loved their men, and they were also wonderful, mighty mothers and women. See, the thing about it was they understood that when they had a child, male or female, back in those days, they tended to not feed the female baby as well as the male baby, but not in the Spartan society. They understood that in order for these children to grow up, male or female, they were going to have to be well-nourished, well-trained, well-educated. They also educated the women and men equally because they understood this, that every member has to be strong. Every member has a purpose, has a position, and that is what made them so strong. And the women in the society, their most important role were mothers and wives. It was their most important role. But they also understood that there was going to become a time, because these men were such mighty warriors, that they were going to go out and these women were going to have to be strong leaders and strong communicators. But at the same time, the men loved and respected their wives, and their wives loved and respected their men. Now, the men were some of the strongest warriors of that time. And one of the things that made these men and these warriors so strong was the way they fought, but the weapons that they used. And see, they had their spears and they had their swords, but this one weapon they knew defeated all other weapons. They knew that by using this tool, they would be able to win the war. It was said that Samaria, back during that time, had some of the greatest weapons ever made. And so the Sumerians would come in and they came into a battle with the Spartans, but they couldn't defeat the Spartans because what the Spartans had was their shield. Their shield was not like any other shield. There was no weapon that could penetrate this shield. And they would move back into a formation where they would come together and they would put the shields up. And a lot of times in the historic and the documentaries, the movies you see, you know that when they back together into this formation with their shield, that they're about to win the war. Because they knew what others didn't know then. They knew that pulling together and putting up their shields would be the thing that would win the war. And so I want to talk today about, as I was looking at the lives of these people and as I was seeing, okay, you know, they understood purpose of every single person in their society. They understood how to fight. They understood how to use weapons of warfare. How much as Christians is it important that every person in our society understands that they have purpose? Every person understands that they have a position. It doesn't matter if you're male, female, whichever. You have a destiny and a purpose in your life. And the enemy wants to destroy that destiny and that purpose. And, you know, in our society today, there's so much confusion. And I would like to say that the confusion is just in the world. It's just out there in media and it's out there in relationship. But it's not. Unfortunately, it's infiltrated some areas of the church and people don't understand their destiny and their purpose anymore. They're just trying to survive and get by in the world we live in. And they're trying to get through their situation and they've forgotten about their destiny. They don't understand how great they are and how important they are as individuals. They think, well, that church is doing good. They don't need me. But the church society needs you and needs what God has intended for your destiny. And so as I was thinking about this, I was looking at the shield. And I was looking at the shield and it made me think of God. And it made me think of the battle I went through in my life. You know, we've all gone through battles and tests and trials and things in our lives. And each one of those you fight, you may fight some the same way, but it's every element God adds to it and brings you up that next level for that next test and different weapons that you have to use. And I thought of the shield and I thought how representative that was in our lives of how God is our shield. He's our protector. And when those, we have to use the prayer and the word and all of the tools, all of the weapons, just like the sword and the spear. We have to use all those weapons together. But God is the ultimate shield and the ultimate protector. And so I want to look at two areas really quick that the enemy uses in that. And you know, if we look at Corinthians 14:33, it says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace." And we live in a world that is full of confusion, but is not from God, is from the enemy. 1 John 4:11 also says, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see it's of God." And that's what I want to talk about today. See, in that, just in that scripture alone right there, and there's so many places, God said, test. Test and see. Because through a test comes truth. And I want to talk today about two ways. Now, the first one I'm not going to spend much time on because it's pretty self-evident. And we all know when it's happening. The first reason and the way that God defeats that destiny and that purpose in our life is through sin. And we talk a lot about that, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that one because we know. Most of us know if we're in sin or we have areas in our life that we need to give to God and pray about. So that one is pretty obvious. And if we can be honest within ourselves, which is honestly one of the hardest things to do, to be able to look at our own lives and say privately, you know, say, God, do I have a sin in my life? Is there something I need to get out? And be able to evaluate that. So that is the first way. But the second way is what I really want to talk about. And it's one that a lot of times is hard to realize and hard to see. It's one of those that a lot of times we look maybe at our children as parents and we can see our children. We can see the wonderful destiny that God has on their life. We can see the purpose. We can see all of these great things in our children. But if we look at ourselves, a lot of times it's hard to see that same thing. And so this next one I want to talk about is we have something going on in our life and we say, God, we're praying, we're seeking the Lord, and we say, God, what is it? Why am I going through this? I don't understand. I don't understand why, Lord. I'm praying, I'm fasting. Lord, forgive me for any sin that I have committed that I don't know I've committed. God, what is it? Why am I going through this battle? That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the test. And the test is probably one of the ways, the biggest ways that the enemy attacks us. And he distracts us because this is what the enemy says. When you start the test, he says, you did something wrong. This is happening because you did it. You did this. And one of the tests and one of the scriptures and just the whole verse here that I want to show as an example of that is in the life of Job. In the life of Job, God allowed a testing in Job's life. And as you get to the latter chapters, after he's been through every test, every heartache, loss, brokenness, lost everything, the second phase is those are coming into his life and saying, you must have done something. There must have been sin in your life. Because, see, they didn't know it was a test. So just when he thinks he's beaten and broken and every horrible thing has happened in his life, phase two comes in and the world says, or people say, or sometimes we say to ourselves, you did it. I did it. This is me. I did something wrong. And see, that's the distraction the enemy wants us to believe. Because if we don't know it's a test, we can't understand how to fight it. So I want to say to you today, step one is just be honest within yourself. Say, God, be honest. Say, is there sin in my life? And if you can look at that and honestly believe in God, give you that and say, this is not a trial of sin, but it's a test. Then you will know how to fight it differently. You have to know that step first. And if God is saying this is a test, let's look at the life of Job. There is a purpose behind that test and a destiny behind that test greater than any purpose and destiny that you can imagine. And I want to share, if I can, a personal story. I've shared here already a few services back quite a while ago my testimony of the last year. But I want to take a part of that and talk about a test. We've all been through tests, different kinds of tests in our life, whether it be personal tests, tests in our finances, tests in our family. I know our little girls have been sick at times. Haley had to go to the hospital when she was younger, you know, and that's a test. You have fear. You have that just praying and believing. So we've all been through a test, I would say, in one area or another in our faith and our walk with God. But I want to share about a test and just an example in my life. And it was in the last year. And I did not realize this. So a lot of what I'm going to speak about now is in retrospect, after the test. For you, if you are going through a test right now, you may not be able to see the purpose in this test. You trust God. You know it. It's a test and you believe God will get you through, but you don't may not understand why. And a lot of times we don't understand why, but we're not meant to understand why until it's over. And so I just want to share a couple of minutes about testing. You know, before our test started in the last year, I was at a place, and I think a lot of people are at this place when a test begins. You know, just in the Word, close relationship with God, moving forward in the things of God, excited about what's going on, family's doing good, things are doing good, and then boom, everything changes. I mean, I know how many of us in here have said, things are going great in life, work's great, things are good, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, bam, it never fails. When things are going good, bam, something happens. Happens to all of us. Well, that is one indication you may want to pray, this is a test. Because when things are going great, especially in our spiritual life, in our walk with God, and we get hit and blindsided out of nowhere, that's a good indication it is a test, not sin. But that's between you and God. You have to pray that and see if that's what it is. But if it is, let me tell you about this test. So where we were in our life, I was praying, really seeking God, just at this point in my life personally where I felt I was going forward in the things of God. I had a closer relationship with God and communication that I'd had in years. I had been praying, being a mom, staying at home with my kids. I knew that's where God wanted me for years before that. They were so little. So I was getting to that transitional place in life that we all get at some area. And I said, okay, God, what can I do for you? How can I help people? How can I move into this next transition? And really seeking, seeking, seeking. We all know the scripture that says, ask and you shall receive. So when you ask for these things, and sometimes when you don't, but when God sees you're ready, he puts a test before you. And so I had asked and asked and asked for months and months and just prayed and looked for ways, started seeking out ways to move forward in the things of God. So I believe this is what God showed me in retrospect. And I didn't realize it at the time. I had no clue why this happened, where this came from. It all happened in a matter of 2 or 3 days. It was almost instantaneous. And I know all tests aren't that way, but this one was. And we walked into this test blindsided, didn't know it was a test, didn't know what it was. and we prayed every day, prayed, fasted. It actually happened at the end of our January fast that we do. So we're praying, fasting. People were praying with us in the Word, listening to CDs, just everything we could do during the beginning of this trial, and didn't understand what it was. And I didn't understand until I came out of the end of it that what it was is it was a test. And it was the biggest test that I had had ever in my life up to that time. But what was going to happen was it was the biggest change God was going to make in my life up to that time. See, life wasn't bad before the test. I mean, we had struggles and we had trials as everybody does, good times, bad times. But there was no complaint. I loved God. My kids loved God. Things were great. But just like in the life of Job. See, Job had a good life before the test. But he was twice as blessed after it was over. So if you say, you know what? I don't really have any problems. Work's good. Things are good. But, you know, I want more out of life. And then a test comes and knocks you down. That's okay. Because you will be twice as blessed when this test is over. And so, as we walk through this test, God showed me this. God said, okay, the enemy wanted to come in. He wanted to destroy our family. He wanted to kill me, destroy our family, destroy our marriage, destroy our life. And God said, you know what? This is the test. You want these things in your life. You want to make a difference. You want to make change. You want to help people. You're tired of seeing people hurt. This will be your test. And not only is this going to be your test, but sometimes in life, this is a life or death test. See, God had tested me in different areas. God had, growing up as a child and in different times, God had spared me several times from a lot of things. But God said, this is it. Because, see, God knows what the enemy doesn't know. God knows the future. He knows the end of the test. He knows the outcome. And, see, the enemy thinks, well, see, I've got all this stuff. These memories, these lies I've put in your head since you were a child, that you're no good, that you can't do anything. The enemy thinks he's got the battle won. But see, God knows the future because the past does not matter. The past does not have to bind you down. So what happened in this test was, it was like the enemy said, okay, if I win this test, I get her life, I get her kids, I get her marriage, I get every person they would ever, I get everything. But God knew when I win the test, I get her life, I get her kids, I get her marriage, I get her family, and I get the future. And I said, you know, what was so great? What destiny on our kids, perhaps, on anything was so great that the enemy was willing to risk everything? Exposure of every lie he had ever said. What is so great that God has for our family and for you guys that he is willing to risk being revealed? What is so great? And let me tell you, God just showed me, there is a great destiny for you. If you're going through a trial right now, it does not matter what that trial is. The enemy's willing to risk everything in your life because he knows if you make it through this test, you're going to be greater in God than you ever imagined that you could be. You know, I was saying earlier, sometimes it's easier to see destiny and purpose in our children than it is in our own lives. And I looked at our girls and, I see Alexis, you know, I look at her, okay, and I see this, since she was a baby, I see this just compassionate, sweet little girl, and she's one of these that loves kids, loves playing, loves her friends, she's never seen race, she's never seen gender, she's just, it doesn't matter, she's just one of those kids. The other day, her sister had to get immunization shots, and she went with us, and she said, Mama, when she started crying, I almost threw up. It just made me tell, because it was so sad to her. She just feels everything. And then with Haley, our younger one, she went to school, and it was her first week of kindergarten, and her teacher came to us and said, or came to Cricket, and said, he said, how's she doing, you know, first week? She said, great, you should be proud of her. He said, well, she better be listening, you know, and doing good. And she said, no, that's not what I mean. She said, we sit at our little times, and the kids sit in groups, and they play, and they tell each other things, and Haley, her thing she wants to tell him, she wants to tell him about Jesus and what she knows about Jesus. So she tells him, she said, she's your little missionary, telling people about Jesus. That's what she knows. So she has something to talk about. So I just think about those two. And I think about if the enemy had if this test had not happened or the enemy had destroyed our family, what that would have done to those little lives. You know, and I think about a year after the test started for me and the enemy really attacked, just emotionally, mentally, enemy attacked me. And it was life or death. And I think back to standing at that river, and I think about all that. And I think about almost a year to the day, I think maybe a little bit after, you know, the God has blessed us with a third child now that we'll be having. What would have happened that day if I would have died that day? After you come out of that, you're so grateful to God and you think, but I never knew about another child that never would have been. But not just that day. If the enemy had destroyed our marriage, our family, it was battle after battle after battle after battle, all in the matter of a few months. And I think about what is so great about this child that if the enemy couldn't kill, it couldn't destroy a marriage. Why? What about this child? Then the enemy was so important to him that this child couldn't be here. And so as you walk through your life, think about a test, no matter how big or small, that you have been through. And think about coming out of it and what you've gained from it and how God wants to use it and how God can use it in your life. Because now I can see things, and I can tell you this, and one of the things God has told me, you know, God has been so good over my life. God is, I know a lot of you can say that God's been so good over your life, but God has said this: now that the test is over, it will be twice as great in the future. And I know that's what God has for you. So when Cricket talked about this is a time of stepping up, I believe this, and because I've talked with some of you, that you're going through a trial right now. You're going through something. And I tell you, just like at the river that day, I believe this. And we see this in Job. He said it in Job. You can do everything you want to him, but you can't kill him. But the enemy tries to sneak in. And I believe that's what God said then. You can do whatever you want to, but you can't kill her. So that day, it was like God reached in, pulled me back out, and told the enemy, no, you can't kill her. And he did everything else after that that he could do. But he could not do that. Because, see, God knew the end. And God knew the end of the story. And that's where God gets the glory. And so that's what I just want to encourage you in today. And what I just want to say is, if you're going through a trial, if it seems small, if it's big, whatever the trial is, there is a purpose. And you won't, a lot of times, feel like you're in a trial. But I tell you this. Pray and seek God first and see if it's a test. And if it's a test, know this. Whatever is going to come at the end of this thing is going to be twice as great as whatever was before it. Twice as great. If things were going great in your life and good and you felt like you were making a step up and then bam, you got slapped back, it's a test. It is a test for you. If you were close in relationship with God and you were moving forward, whether it be in your ministry, your personal life, your business, and you said, God, thank you every day. It's just great. And then boom, you got knocked down. It's a test. And what's going to happen when you come out of that test is God is saying today, you're going to be twice as better off because I see your future. You can't, but you're not supposed to. I see your future. So just like as we were talking about earlier with the Spartans, see, they knew every weapon they had was important, but the shield was the most important. You should always take your prayer with you. You should always take prayer, fasting, church, relationships, fellowship. You should take all of those great and good weapons and tools that God gives you. Take them with you. Don't stop doing those things. But sometimes the battle is so great. God says, you've got to keep doing it, but bring all those weapons with you under the shield, and I'm going to win this battle. See, that's what happened to me. I was already knocked down before the battle really even started. I couldn't do anything physically or otherwise. But once I was there and I was under the shield, I had done everything I knew to do, and it was worse and worse and worse and worse, and I was under the shield, just like these warriors. When you stand back up out of that shield, every enemy on the battlefield is gone. See, my weapons were working and a part of it, but they weren't the weapon that was going to win. I had to just stop. I had to stop for a moment, keep praying and fasting, but I had to say, God, that's it. I give everything to you. My family, my life, marriage, none of it matters. You're all that matters. You know, and if we get to a place in our life that it's not weakness to stop and say, God, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to pray and fast and believe in you. Because see, the power in Job was, what the enemy was saying is, you've given Job a good life. So of course he serves you. But what happens if you give him the worst life possible? The power came when Job said, God, after all that had happened, it's all you. So I just want to give you a time as we close. And I love this time in this service. We say it's an altar call, but what it really is, see, when different speakers and pastors are up here, it's a time to receive the word maybe and hear the word. But this is a time where you get to communicate with God, where you get to have that relationship, where you get to stand up and you say like Job did, God, the devil has put hell on me and in my life, but I don't care what happens. I don't care if I'm defeated. I don't care if I'm beaten, broken. I'm going to stand up. And I'm going to say, you're greater than anything that I've gone through. Because see, we confess him before men and he is faithful in our lives. So I just want to do that now as we close. If there is a battle you are going through in your life and you say, God, I don't know what this is. Let's first say, God, forgive us for any sin that we may have in our life. Sin that we know or sin that we don't know. But second, if you are going through something in your life and you haven't known up to this point, or maybe you have, and you or someone you love, because you can intercede for others, is going through a test and a trial, let's just take this time to say, God, I'm done. I'm beaten and I'm broken. And I'm not going to quit serving you. I'm not going to quit reading your word. I don't care what the enemy does. Because see, when we confess that, and we say it to God and we say it before others, that's when it breaks. That's when God wins. That's when God defeats the enemy and you come out of that trial.